Hi, you're listening to Glad Tidings. Today, we have Pastor Michael Tan sharing the word. We hope this message encourages you in your faith.
We praise God for this weekend again. We thank the Lord for visitors. We thank the Lord for salvation. We thank the Lord for the gathering of God's people, which is so important, so needed at such a time like this. We need one another. That is so important as the people of God. And if you are here for the very first time, whether online or physically, we hope that you will identify yourself to any of the ushers or the pastors and join us at the visitors lounge after the service. We would like to meet you and just tell you a bit more about our church. This morning service, we had a visitor, one of our former youth pastor many, many years ago, came and visited us with his wife. He was in a time of transition, but praise God, it's so good to see that the heritage that he was one of the youth pastors to our pastors now, you know. So we were just rejoicing, thank God for the fruits of his ministry for the young people. And so important and so good to have the young generations. You are here. Can you give a shout? All the kids and the youth. Ooh, welcome. Good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today, the title of my message is Broken But Restored. I think this is a journey that I also went to. Actually, this title was actually penned by my son, I think Brian, a few years ago, I think, when he just put it in one of the social media. He's in charge of my social media. he used this term, but it truly, truly reflect the journey that I went through, and I believe the journey that each one of us have gone through, that we are all broken, but restored by the grace of God. Amen. This is something very important. This psalm that we are singing, we have just read, Psalm 51, is coupled with Psalm 32, and it is called the Psalm of David. And this psalm must always be read and be meditated alongside the song that we have sung today, that we are, God is our friend. We are a friend of God. You know, sometimes as a church, we need to have a balance between being close to God. It's an honor that God will call us his friend. There's several Old Testament characters that God has called the Old Testament character his friend. One of them was Abraham, because of how he personally walk and talk with them. So just like for each one of us as believers, as disciples, that the Lord speaks to us how? In his word, by his spirit. And he reveals his plans for us. He reveals his will for us. God's will, not our own personal will, but God's will for us, general will for us. And he reveals our future for us, where we are going, where we are headed for. And we know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because we are meant for the kingdom of God. And that is the kingdom that will last forever. So when we sing about our closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ, we also have to have a balance about the holiness of God. So Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 have a historical context of King David. He was famously known as a man after God's own heart, that God really chose him to be the second king of Israel to replace Saul, who failed God and God rejected him, who disobeyed God as the king. And David was chosen out of all his 8 brothers. You know, he was the youngest, but he was not chosen because he was the handsomest or because he was the youngest. He was chosen because God knew his heart. That even if he were to fall, as he did in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, He's going to be restored. He's going to rise up. He's going to own up all his sins in his life. So the context of Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 12, which we are not going to read here, but this story is so well known to us. 2 Samuel 11 speaks about David during the springtime when the weather was good, when there was so much food along the way, people can pick and pluck foods along the way. The weather was nice for people to travel and even to do battle. So David sent his troops to Ammon, to fight the Ammonites in Rabbah. But David didn't follow. And this was something, again, this was one of the sins of his life. This was the beginning of his sin, beginning of his fall. And sometimes we don't realize that our sins just fall and just come so easily. We just think that since we just fell into sin, just like you fell in love with someone, we don't just fall in love with someone. We just don't simply just fall into sin. There is a build up to it. And David allowed himself, instead of being in the battle with his army as what God expected him as the king of Israel, he stayed home. And in the afternoon, King David just went up to the roof of his palace and began to start surfing. Just like what we do here, we surf in our social media, in our Facebook, in our Instagram, in our TikTok. We just do that. And David was doing the same thing. He had the same problem because he was idle. So idleness actually is a sin, not because we are not doing anything, we are just resting. We all need rest, correct? We all need rest. Today is a rest day. But idleness is not just not doing anything. Idleness is doing the wrong thing. Idleness is not following God's purpose for your life. He was meant to be at the battle with his soldiers. Instead, he was surfing. And like all of us nowadays, there is a danger of us. We carry our smartphone with us. We can surf quietly, privately, in the middle of the night, in the early of the morning, and we can spend hours and hours going into the wrong website. And so David went to the wrong website. We went to another woman's website, Bathsheba's website. She was bathing. And not only she was bathing, she was beautiful. And this was the start of David's downward spiral towards displeasing God, towards not fulfilling his role as the king of Israel. As the king, he has a responsibility to uphold the temple, the laws of God, holiness. He was the one to uphold the welfare. So the welfare of the nation is always tied to the king, tied to the temple. And the king is always responsible for the welfare of the worship, the welfare of the priest, the welfare of himself. But we look at the person instead of looking after the welfare of the nation. He was looking after his own welfare. He was feeding his sinful nature, and we all have that. We all have that. That's why we call that we are all broken, because Jesus says, David says in Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So this is for every generation to know that we don't sin because we just happen to sin. We sin because deep within us there is an iniquity. There is a disposition to disobey God, to disobey authority, to disobey parents. But this does not give us an excuse to disobey our parents, to disobey those in authority, to walk and rebel against them. But this, all the more, we need to come back to God. And that is the reason why God gave the Ten Commandments, why Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, why Jesus spoke about the commandments that we have to teach everyone, the commandments, not just of the Ten Commandments, but the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. It said there are almost 212 commandments of Jesus in the New Testament. So the very reason why children need to obey and honor their parents is because we have that perversion. We have a natural tendency to disobey, to rebel. The reason why husbands must love their wives is because we have a natural tendency to not to love our wives. The reason why wives are called to submit to their husband, because we have a natural tendency since the fall of Adam and Eve to fight for headship in the home. The reason why employers or house owners are called to treat their servants or their workers or the employers well, because we have a tendency to abuse our workers. And the same thing with workers and employees, the same thing that we tend to want to challenge our bosses, our employers, and say that I will skip this, I will not do this. So this is because of the very important thing that other religions do not address. Even the major religions do not address this issue, this terminal cancer that is in each one of us. This is something that affects the whole of creation, even a baby that is born. That's why David says, even from the womb, I have iniquity. That means a tendency, a disposition to disobey God, to walk away from God, to cross God's law, to cross the line, and to live my life as a failure before God. So the Word of God is so important. After this, you will see why God's Word and God's Spirit will help us to break free from the sins. For us who are already in the Lord, there will be times where we become disobedient. For those who are lost, who are not yet in the Lord, there is an opportunity for them to begin to receive the word as David received the word from Nathan. What happened on that roof when David was idle instead of being in the purpose of God, instead of being in the will of God? He began to stray away. And that is the danger for us, especially for us men. We have to take responsibility, regardless of whether we are pastors or board members or long-time leaders. All of us can be tempted. All of us can fall. And that's why, sadly, we hear so many stories in the church, in Christendom, not just overseas, but even here in Malaysia, of pastors falling, of worship leaders falling, of people who are highly honored, esteemed, falling. It is because each one of us, we still carry the sin nature in us. So we know that when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, Jesus paid the penalty in full for our sins. That means we are forgiven, past, present, and future. After that, once we have come to accept the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ, we still are under the care of the Holy Spirit, that He sanctifies us, and it's a lifelong. That means we still are not free from the power of sin. The enemy was trying to still cause us to disobey God, to not hear, to question God, and to see whether is God true. But one day, we will be free from the presence of sin. That is when we go to heaven. Can we say an amen to that? Then we will be glorified. But until that time, you and I need Psalm 51. You and I need Psalm 32. You and I need to realize that we are not as safe as we think we are. Suddenly a foul word can come from us. Suddenly an ungodly thought, a judgmental thought will come to us. Suddenly images that we are not supposed to see, we will see. Do you know when we see something, sometimes we cannot unsee. When we hear something we are not supposed to hear, sometimes we cannot unhear. But only through the power of God can we begin to be healed and restored. Can we say amen to that? And so for us here, as a people who are in the Lord, this Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 is so powerful. The story of David is so relevant for us. Why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine? David was so anointed, so gifted as a worship leader. He wrote songs, and many of the songs are in the Psalms. He played for Saul when Saul was disturbed and depressed, and the spirit left, and Saul was made well. He fought Goliath, but yet he too fell. When I was preparing this message, my wife noticed I was a bit moody. I was a bit black face because this is a very heavy message. Because it just began to dawn on me when you begin to put yourself in the Word of God, the mirror of God's Word, that what happened to David can also happen to me. What happened to David can also happen to each one of you. No matter how anointed we are, no matter how well taught we are, no matter how good our reputation, you know, our reputation can just go off in just a few minutes if we did like what David did. David was not where he was supposed to be, and that's how he got into trouble. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful where we go, what we listen to, what we see, what we hear. And if we know anything, we can learn anything from David, you can learn anything from your own life, I can learn anything from my own struggle and my own sins, I should take heart to Psalm 51 and 32 and says that there is a time that we should run. Sometimes men are not very good runners. They slow down, they turn and look around. They say, maybe it's from God. Maybe this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, is for me. You know, then he went and also made an inquiry. Who is this woman? So he sent someone to send. He said, this woman is somebody's wife. Very important. The scripture says he is the wife of Uriah. So this is something that should have stopped King David, a man after God's own heart. It should stop us when we are going, knowing that this is wrong for us. We should not go there. We should not do this. We should not think of this. This should stop us. But David, just because he was at the wrong place, he shouldn't be. He was supposed to be out there. And this is where the idle mind is the playground of the enemy. And begin to say, nothing what? Just enjoying God's beauty only. Correct? That's what men always say, huh? Just enjoying God's beauty comes in a figure, you know, whatever shape there is. Just enjoying the beauty, you know. After that, he began to inquire, taking one more step. Then after knowing that she is married and married to a wife who is, the husband is his own soldier, who is fighting so hard. And here he is fighting for his wife. Can you imagine the irony, the wickedness of evil of David that slowly didn't come overnight? It was slowly thinking. Do you know how many rounds he went on the roof? I think I should not go. I think I should not look. But then he came back again to look again. And he looked and looked and looked. So this is for each one of us a warning about the dangers of temptation. Don't play with fire.
Family Life Ministry seeks to provide biblical and practical help for the relationships that matter most. Our objective is to improve and develop our own family relationships, serve the church by offering systematic instructions and training in matters relating to family life, with an emphasis on preventive and enrichment. If you would like to know more about our family life courses, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now back to the message.
That's why there are people who are very guarded about going out with people from the opposite sex, you know, especially people in the ministry, to be guarded, you know, not to open yourself up. We can always say, I'm strong. But when sometimes everything, when the perfect storm, everything falls into place, we will just lose our inner resolve to say, I must not, I cannot, because the person that I will ultimately hurt, displeased, will be the Lord Himself, God Himself, not just the people who are involved. So after hearing that he was the wife of his soldier, and the wife's father was also his soldier, can you imagine that your own people, kakilang. Your own people, you are willing to destroy a family. You are willing to come. And I was just amazed at how many sins he committed. The moment he took, after knowing all these things, he took Bathsheba into his house, not to have a conversation with her about how the husband is doing, but to sleep with her, to fulfill his sinful desires. And then she sent her home, and then she became pregnant. Not only that, when she got, I think if he had not got pregnant, he would not have been guilty or worried about his sin. But when she told him, I think this was the only words that we hear from Bathsheba, "I am pregnant." Sometimes you all men also quite afraid of that word. Huh? I don't know, women also sometimes afraid of that word when it is, you know, whether it's a good thing in a family or sometimes if we are in a relationship where we should not be. And that word came and David was slain. Then he start to hide one sin. That is what sin does. We hide one sin upon another. We lie to cover another lie. And then sometimes you forget what is the original lie. And so he began to, quickly bring back her husband. I want her husband to come back and come and go back and sleep with her so that they think that is the husband's child. Wow, can you imagine that? You know, he want to cover his sin. That is a man. Can you imagine? That's David. I cannot remember. I just can't imagine. He wrote so many beautiful psalms about worshiping God, being faithful to God, and that he fell. He felt that, wow, Uriah was a better man than David. He said, how can I go and sleep with my wife and enjoy and rest when the soldiers are fighting? When the ark of God perhaps could be either in Ammon or in here, is in a tent. And he faithfully stayed near the palace guards there, never went home. He says, I cannot betray. People are fighting. I'm here enjoying with my wife. Secondly, he got him drunk. He said, okay, never mind. Come and drink with me, eat with me. He tried to get him drunk. This time, maybe after drunkenness, he'll go back to his wife. And then I will be free. Again, Uriah showed that even when Uriah was drunk, he was more sober than David. David was just calculating and thinking, wow, all the strategies, all the wicked plans coming, how to get him to go back so that I will be free from this blame. But again, Uriah was truly, really a soldier. His heart was one focus only. That's what we are as soldiers of God. We are focused on the battle that God has for us. Again, he didn't go back. So he says, well, then he had to go to plan A. Plan A didn't work. Plan B didn't work. Now he had to go to plan C. So the plan C was, he called his commander. I think we need to get rid of him. So murder came into his heart. The five sins came into his heart. And eventually, they put him right in the battle where he was most likely to die. And true enough, he died. So in the process, David, the man after the own hearts of God, broke five of the commandments out of the 10 commandments. Half, 50% of the commandment. When you broke when we break one, we break all the commandments. But David was a champion. He was supposed to be champion of the people and fight for truth, fight for the worship of God, fight for holiness, fight for to do right, fight to protect his people. As the king, he was supposed to protect his citizens, not take advantage of his citizens, and not kill his citizens. So he was guilty of murder. He was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of stealing. Nathan was sent by God to confront David. David didn't feel it at all. He was just plotting how to get out of this, how to get out. He didn't realize the immensity of how he has hurt God. God was the one who anointed him to be the king of Israel, to lead the people, God's people. So Nathan told the story about a rich man and a poor man and the sheep that belongs to the poor man. And this rich man, instead of using his sheep to cook and to make a meal, he take the only one sheep that the poor man has and cook it. And so, who was the rich man? The rich man was David. Who was the poor man? The poor man was Uriah. And who was the small little sheep that was sacrificed? It was Bathsheba. So David was so angry, he didn't know that Nathan was talking about him. Nathan says, wow, this person is so cruel. He needs to die. And he needs to pay back four times what he has stolen. Actually, in the law, Levitical law, there is no death sentence for stealing. But you just have to pay back four times. But actually, David didn't realize that he was talking about himself. That David committed two sins that was a death sentence for him. Murder and adultery. Bathsheba, one, adultery. So in all, he committed murder, adultery, he stole another person's wife. And we have to be very careful in this area of sexual immorality. We are not now talking no more outside, we're not talking in the church really. It is becoming a bit more scary happening in the church. That husbands, and not just husbands, wives also, becoming unfaithful to their spouses. And this is something that we need to guard jealously. Because this is happening all over, even in the among the pastors, among the people who are very supposed to be anointed. This shows that our sin nature is so deep-seated within us unless we continue to be led by the Spirit. We continue to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. And what is the whole armor of God? Actually putting on Christ. Because Christ is the truth that we must constantly, Christ is the righteousness that we have. We don't have any righteousness ourselves. And Christ is the one who will give us that faith to believe God. And Christ is the peace that we should have. And Christ is the living word, the sword of the Spirit. And Christ is our salvation when we hammer. Sometimes we forget that we are safe. We are safe not to go back and do the old things, not to be the old man and the old woman again. Then the sin of bearing false witness, he's conspired with Joab, the commander. This person must be put very near the battle where he will die. So there was a conspiracy. We do not know the story that King David told Joab. Maybe that this person has somebody that deserves to be punished for whatever reason. So there was a false witness against Uriah when he conspired to kill. And then there was the covetousness. It starts with covetousness. When his heart was idle, his mind was idle, just the thought. What is covetousness? In the Ten Commandments, is to want everything that your neighbor has. When you should not be asking for that, you should just ask God, what should I have? And so David wanted the neighbor's wife. Some of us want our other neighbor's car, the job, the position, the house, you know, all the cards that he has, all the prestigious membership that he has, perhaps in the club membership and all these things. But this is not for you. And this is what led David to sin, when we want things that are not meant for us, that belongs to others. And so this is the five sins of David. And so this psalm is so important because we have to address this. Like what I said, it's very hard that I preach this because we need, as much as to say that we are a friend of God, we need to preach about sin. We need to preach about God's judgment. We need to preach about God's holiness here in the church. Everywhere else, out of the church, they are just giving excuse for people making mistakes. Oh, because you all are not doing well, your relationship not well, that's why they had an affair. Oh, because we had not enough money, that's why I stole my big money just to feed my people. Oh, because this person lied about me, that's why I lied back about this person. Oh, because this person don't want to forgive me, that's why I don't want to forgive this person. So this is the philosophy, understanding of people outside. But in the church, in God's church, there is a need for us to, most importantly, because God is holy and God desires each one of us to be holy. Holy does not mean for you and I that we are perfect. You must get it right. We can never and will never be perfect on this side of heaven. When we are in heaven, then perfection will begin to take place. Glorification will be glorified again. But on this side, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to sin and we may fall too. But what do we do? If after praying, after guarding ourselves, we still fall. David wrote this Psalms 51 and 32 to help us to learn how to come back to God. How to restore that brokenness in our lives. You know, the scariest verse in the Bible is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many people are worried. Will I miss the boat? Can I lose my salvation? Brothers and sisters, the Word of God is very clear, even in Hebrews, even in the Word of God, that if we keep on this path, if David keep on this path of ignoring the prophet Nathan and keep on womanizing, keep on surfing, keep on stealing, keep on coveting, keep on lying, he's going to miss out on what God has for him. So as a church, as pastors here, I have to guard myself first. And then I have to, as the pastors and ministers here, we have to guard you as the sheep. Whenever there is a sin, we need to address sin and call sin, sin. And don't call sin a mistake. Don't call sin a weakness. Because if we do that, we excuse ourselves. If we do that, we will constantly get into downward spiral. And that's what David went through. So in this year of shift, it is coming back to basics. Getting serious with God again. Reverence for God again. Very little nowadays is preached, even in the churches, about the seriousness of sinning against a holy God. When we sin, although David, when confronted, realized that Nathan, after telling the story, when David was so angry, Nathan just released the word of God. The only way we can repent and be broken about our sin and be restored is when we acknowledge that I have sinned. So the first word that David says after knowing that it is him, when Nathan says, "You are that man. You are the one who stole, murdered, commit adultery, lied, and coveted your neighbor. You are the one." Immediately see, "I have sinned against God." And immediately Nathan had the word from God. "God has already put aside your sin. You will not die." Today we stand here, we will not die because of the grace of God. Only because God is merciful. His unfailing love for us, He forgives us. Today, the Lord may be speaking to some of you. The word, "You are that man, you are that woman." If there is something unconfessed, if there's something we are hiding from God, because we cannot hide from God, eventually sin will come out in the light. And that's what the light is for. That's what the word of God to do that. three things quickly before I end here to say that why does one God wants to break us? God wants to break us so that He can cleanse me. This is a beautiful, I don't know what you call it, a vessel, yeah? But you see that it is broken, it has been shattered. And there's the art of pottery in Japanese called kintsugi. That means they repair back, they restore back the broken vessel by adding gold. So in fact, the brokenness added value to that vessel. So in that sense, you and I are all these vessels. We are broken because of sin in our lives. All of us are born with a sin in our lives. But when we come to Jesus, He will add in His life, His forgiveness, His restoration, His strength, His a new beginning for us. Psalms 1 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." If God doesn't repair our vessel, restore our vessel, we will be broken pieces. We will always be short in life, never achieving anything in life, always failing. Even with money, even with success, we feel there's something missing in our lives. And only that goal that represents in this bowl, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God will begin to restore us back into something, a vessel of beauty. Can we say amen to that? To blot out our sins, it means to wipe away as if we have never sinned. Wow. Can you imagine David saying that prayer? Lord, as if I've never sinned against Bathsheba, as if I've never murdered. That is how God can forget our sins. But you and I can never forget. But God can forget. To wash. Today we are all using washing machine. In my era, and those, my era, 50s, 60s, we didn't have washing machine. How do we wash clothes? And then the young people say, you mean we always have wash clothes, never wash clothes like that all the time? No. We used to use our hands to wash. We used to use a washboard. We used to scrub. And sometimes the scrubbing is more painful for who? Not the laundry man or laundry woman, but for the clothes itself. We wet the cloth because of the dirt, and especially those days, they like to use white. I do not know why. White uniform, white shoes, everything white. And somehow, the painful process. In Penang, we have a river, a famous river, where the dobi man, the laundry man, will take all the clothes and all the rocks there, and they will wet the clothes. Wet the clothes. So it was more painful for the clothes than for the laundry man. That is how God deals with our sin, because our sin corrupts us from the inside out. And God is holy, and He will wash and wipe and clean until we feel so light again. We feel so free again. We feel so alive again. That is the beauty of God's washing. And then to cleanse. Cleanse is a ceremonial word. That means God wants us to restore us so that we can be used by God, so that we can serve drinks again, serve soup again, serve green tea again, serve whatever in that bowl again. We can serve others. We can be a blessing of God to others again. We have to correct the wrong understanding that once we come to the Lord, we don't need to repent. We need to be broken. That is wrong teaching. Because of our sin nature, it still follows us. But every day we die to self. We crucify the flesh. We say no when our old self wants to rebel against God, wants to sin, wants to do what's not right. I keep telling one person, if you keep cheating on your wife, you are going to pay the price for it. You cannot run away from it. God will be God. You are playing with fire. If somebody has already warned you, the word of God has warned you, if there's a Nathan or some God sends another Nathan to your life and say, you are that person, you need to change, you need to repent, you need to turn around, we have to do that. If you have unforgiveness in your life, then God says, you have to forgive. Because forgiveness is not for the other person, forgiveness is for me. And forgiveness and reconciliation is not the same. We can forgive, but there may not be reconciliation because reconciliation needs two hands. Like what Pastor David says, adultery needs two hands. Here I'm telling you, reconciliation needs two hands. If one person wants to reconcile, the other person don't want to reconcile, then there will be no reconciliation, but still forgiveness will be released. Forgiveness is for our relationship with God because God forgives. We have been forgiven of a bigger sin than all the things that people have done against us. So forgiveness is very important for us to release forgiveness. Because what if the person dies? What if the person not around and I cannot reconcile? You have already forgiven. That is the most important thing. Reconciliation is a totally separate thing. It depends on both sides. Secondly, God breaks me so that He can restore me. And the central verse in the whole Psalm 51 is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. God knows that our heart is the center of the will, the emotions, and the desires of a person. And God wants to restore us back with repentance, forgiveness, and a new attitude. He says, create in me. So God is saying that if you come to me and repent and humble yourself, I'm going to make you new again. I'm going to give you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. God is a God of many chances. But again, we should hate the sin that we have done. We should learn, because the brokenness causes pain to others. It will cause pain to you and your whole family. David destroyed the family of Uriah. It caused pain to others. Anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. There is a restoration of biblical manhood and womanhood. Men will be men and women will be women. Men must look like men and women must look like women and not exchange. Men must be attracted to women and women attracted to men, not men to men and women to women. So that is the restoration that God is bringing in the house of God. We have to watch out for the order that God has placed so that we will be right again before God. God is watching us. And everything that we do, God records it down. So we pray that when we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ, He will look at our records and He will smile. Not because we have not made mistakes, but because we are quick to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. And I will never repeat the same sin. Very importantly, never repeat the same sin again. Never repeat the same mistakes again. There are three reasons why we can remember our sins, and it is good for us. The first reason is that so that we can testify of the goodness of God. That means every time we come together, we can say, Lord, thank you. Because of your goodness, all my past is my past. It's no more my present and no more my future. Secondly, if we cannot remember our sins, we are going to repeat our sins over and over again. And then we ask, why are we doing the same thing? Because you don't remember your sins. And God, the Holy Spirit, is there to remind us where you were before and where God is. Thirdly, if we can't remember our sins, we cannot rejoice in victories. God is the strength of my heart. He will give me the equipment, the weapon to fight every temptation and every testing in my life. I may not be all I want to be today, but I'm not who I was last time. Correct? We should always say this. Just like Paul, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not yet what God wants me to be. And this is the whole life process of God. Thirdly and lastly, God breaks me so that He can use me. Look at this beautiful vessel, that God can use this vessel. Today we all are just like these broken vessels. The gold represents the life of Christ's love, His forgiveness, His mercy, His grace upon that life. That God wants to use each one of our vessels and pour out unto others, because you and I are the best advertisement for the gospel, for the kingdom. We can say Jesus loves you. We can say God died on the cross for you. We can do all that, and we can say it until we lose all our saliva and nothing is going to happen. But when we tell people, do you know what God has done in my life? I was broken and He restored me. I was the worst of sinners. Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners. I too can say, based on my past, I was the worst of sinners. But God can redeem. God can take something, the broken pieces in our lives, and begin to put it back together and make it such a beautiful vessel. It will be a vessel of honor that will bring joy, not only to God, but to others who know us. You and I can go back to the places that we have sinned against God and say, and sometimes, like myself, when I go back to my old horn where I've done the wrong things, one of the things that will help, will convict me and make me cry, is that this is what I used to be. But I'm no longer like this. God has taken me out, cleansed me, washed me, put aside all my past, and God is making me new again. And God wants to use me for His glory. Just one important thought before we end here. Can I ask the worship team to come here? Today, I know there's quite quiet among you because we are talking about sin. We are talking about God's holiness. We must have the right image of Jesus Christ. Don't always have the image of Jesus carrying a lamb on the shoulder with a long, flowing, beautiful hair, nice, well-ironed robe, face that is without wrinkle and pure, don't know which product He uses, hands that look like He've never worked before. No, that is not the real Jesus. The real Jesus was a carpenter. The real Jesus was beaten and bruised and humiliated. The real Jesus one day will also come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is going to judge. He's going to be a warrior. He's going to deal with sin once and for all. Let's make sure we never forget that we are called to be a holy people, to be a vessel of honor, make whole, restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19, it is said that Jesus has a sword in His mouth where He's going to judge, He's going to destroy the enemies that reject Him. So let's have a proper understanding of view of a holy God. Let's come to church with reverence. Come early, as many of you have followed and heard my cry for you to come early. Be punctual, because you are coming to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Dress properly when you come into the house of God. Put aside everything that distracts you. Your phone, Where are you going to eat after this? Because you only have this 1 hour and 15 minutes in church. But this is a time that the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to us and to remind us again that the God that we call friend is first and foremost a holy God, a righteous God, a God who hates evil, who hates sin, and who hates the devil. And you and I, because we are followers of Christ, like what Pastor David says last week, we should also do the same thing. We should also hate our own sins. We should also hate evil, and we should also hate the devil. That's the only people we are supposed to hate. Everybody else we are supposed to love. Can I get the worship team? Even as we end here, can we just stand before the Lord and just sing out Psalm 51?
Thank you for tuning in. We hope that this message has encouraged or inspired you to live a victorious life. Remember to subscribe to our Spotify channel to get our weekly updates. Have a blessed week.